Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark. You're listening to the Age of Vision radio show. Today is September 26, 2016, and I have renamed Mondays to be Manhattan Project Monday. As many of you, my followers, know, I have been interviewing activists from St. Louis. When I found out last October, I read a story about Don Chapman, researching things to bring to the table at the radio show. The radio show was pretty new last year. It was really started last, I think it was August 3rd or 7th or something like that. So we're a brand new radio show, and I was dumbfounded that America could just like not even pay attention to these people being radioactively contaminated. Like living right in my, I mean, to be frank, I think I've alienated the people in St. Louis because nobody wants to interview with me because I am non-apologetic about my distrust and dislike of the EPA and our elected officials. I think they are colluded. I know we, quote, need them, but you know what? When someone's punching you in the face, do you call them a good person? I don't. That's what they're doing to St. Louis. I have been reporting on St. Louis, regardless of whether the people want to come here and interview with me or not, because it's an issue. It's like I'm not going to give up on my friend who's being beaten up by her husband either. I'm going to keep on figuring out a way to get her out of that environment. So that's exactly what I'm doing. And to be honest, I've seen Alex Cohen. He interviewed with me. He has his own group called Soul Much Water, and they have a Facebook page, and he's really an awesome young man, him and his group. They're out in South Dakota. He got arrested yesterday, actually. He is putting his mouth where his money where his mouth is. He is actually getting out, and he got arrested. They stopped it. They delayed action. They were basically begging us to please get out, please come out, please come out. And oh my God, it was hard for me to watch that. Because I can't get there. I really can't get there. And I cannot, like, if I walk away from my life, you know what happens to other people? I mean, with my business especially? Like, there's no way I can just walk away and blow up their lives. Especially when I know that, you know what? The writing is on the wall, folks. We are living in a fascist state. And I know what they say, it's time to take a stand. And I guess this is why I'm on the radio. And today I'm not going to be interviewing anybody. I am going to be giving you some information. Because one of the things that's happened recently is Dr. Helen Caldicott, and I sent her a private message through Facebook and said, you know, I think this is why myself, I have not gone out there. I mean, I guess I have heard about it long enough that I could have found time over the summer to go there. But A, it's highly contaminated with radioactivity, period. I mean, that's the worst part that's not even being talked about on the Dakota Pipeline. They're dredging up radioactivity that's been settled for a long time. Who knows what the mess they're making? It's kind of like what they're doing with Fukushima, just spreading it out everywhere. So, and this is not a call-in day, because basically on Mondays I'm going to be pre-recording it. I am looking forward to interviewing activists like Larry Bergen. I do hope to have Don Chapman or even Steedy Seltzer. I keep reaching out to them. I want them to come on. I am still interested in St. Louis activists, so I will be interviewing anybody from the St. Louis area who wants to share their information or be heard on our radio show, whether they have any activism to say at all, if they just want to talk about it. And I don't think they will, because I have, my response is kind of harsh, and I've had to actually learn how to temper that, and my apologies for forcing you guys to hear that. So I have come to the Defenders of the Black Hills website, and I suggest everybody go there, because they have been taking action for a long time, and the reason is they are the victims of uranium. Radioactive pollution kills. In January, they went to the White House. We saw a little bit this on the news. There was Native American tribes that said no nuke solidarity. Four Corners and North Great Plains to Fukushima. And there is a it needs 2,000 signatures, a petition, DIY Roots Action. It's called rootsaction.org/petition/clean-up-15-000-toxic-abandoned-uranium-mines. That's the URL reading. And it's basically clean up toxic abandoned uranium mines. There are 15,000 abandoned uranium mines. So listen to this, folks. This is going to shock you. Why is this important? This is from the Clean Up Toxic Abandoned Mines to the members of Congress. They're saying they need 2,000 signatures. I think we should probably get 100,000, man. They say they need 2,000 signatures. I wonder where that number came from. Start a campaign. Okay. So they it has 1,011 signatures. So why is this important? According to the Environmental Protection Agency, more than 15,000 uranium mines, abandoned uranium mines, AUMs, that's what that means. They have an acronym here. Oh, they're learning from the NRC. Okay, let's read that again. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, more than 15,000 AUMs, or abandoned uranium mines, and exploratory sites are located throughout the United States, posing substantial health and environmental hazards. No existing federal laws require cleanup of these toxic abandoned sites. Let me repeat that. No existing federal laws require cleanup of these toxic abandoned sites. Most of these abandoned uranium mines were established under the General Mining Law of 1872 that does not require reclamation or remediation. Wow, who did that? They knew what they were doing. Mining companies walked away from their cleanup responsibilities after decades of mining, leaving the public to hear their toxic legacy. Leaving the public to bear their toxic legacy. With 75% of abandoned uranium mines located on public or tribal lands, indigenous communities have long faced disproportionate impacts from this toxic legacy. According to the EPA data, 10 million people were estimated to live within 50 miles of a recorded abandoned uranium mine. Are you kidding me? Radioactive pollution from abandoned uranium mines have been linked to cancer, genetic defects, and increases in mortality. There is no limit. There is no minimum threshold for radiation damage, no dose, which makes it harmless. Radiation causes cancer and other organ damage, especially during fetal development and in young children. It is time to clean up the mines. So this is reading from this petition page still. It says, how will it be delivered? It will be delivered in person and on the media event. Wow. That is shocking, folks. This is why, this is the thing that I realized about St. Louis. And in a way, the people of St. Louis have done me a favor, because I really would have been really narrow about my thinking if I would have had somebody on week after week looking at the urgency of their situation, which frankly, it really is urgent. And yes, people can go about their daily lives and act as if they're okay. But the illnesses, the sicknesses, I mean, do we really deserve, do those people deserve to have to live like that? No. There is no reason that we need to. We just signed a multi-billion-dollar weapons sale to Saudi Arabia and multi-billion-dollar contracts to Israel. I mean, that is outrageous. We spend over 50% of our budget on the military, and frankly, this Manhattan Project really is a military issue. Now, the defenders of the Black Hills, this is where I found the clean up the uranium mine sites, and I do not know if they're the same people, and I have reached out to both organizations, and I hope that I can hear from them soon, because I would love to have them talk about these issues themselves. As you can see, my reporting is limited to what I research and look at, and frankly, this is a part-time job for me, so I don't really have a lot of time with it. So I am going to continue with this. I've gone back to the Defenders of the Black Hills. In April, they went to in January of last year, they went to the White House. And there's YouTube videos up on there. And they actually, it's a whole thing of them, an indigenous delegation to D.C., radioactive pollution kills. And really, it is true. It is our Fukushima, folks. We have really ignored it. Scrolling down their page, they have this really great article called "We Are the Miner's Canary. Indigenous Delegation Sounds Alarm on Homegrown Radioactive Pollution Crisis. Events and protests planned in D.C." So that's what they did. They actually did go there. Now, this is what they're doing now. Defenders of the Black Hills. Charmaine Whiteface has her way. And the international recognition she's already gotten says that on the road, the Black Hills of South Dakota will reclaim their purity as a major sacred area of the Sioux Nation. For the Black Hills, that would mean an end to logging, mining, and exploitative tourism, replaced, she hopes, by tourism that respects the tribe's rights and protects the land from mistreatment. This was written in 2009, and that hurts my feelings that this has just gone unignored. And you know what this really speaks to, really? It is sad. It's just sad that we are manipulated to look at other things and have our minds go off and look on other things. We are literally eating our arms off. My friend Ed Oz said to me, well, who wants to hear about radiation? That kind of stung my ears. I know I said this about this before, but it really stung my ears. Because what you're saying is, this is what they're counting on. That's their response. And what I'm asking people to do is remember life. Here's a haiku. This is a book of haiku, an anthology of poems and poets from Bashu to Shiki. And I have no idea who wrote this. Let's see who this says this is. I just opened it up. Busson. Okay. Yesterday a flight, today a flight. The wild geese are not here tonight. That's kind of sad, isn't it, folks? The geese are leaving because of radiation. The birds are leaving because of radiation. These things that they call a mystery, those crabs in Japan, they don't know why they died. It's a mystery. We know why. We know exactly why. I mean, it's so outrageous. The short night is through, and the hairy caterpillar, little beads of dew. We are losing that, folks. We are losing our capacity to do this. The people, now, the other thing that brought me up about this thing with the Black Hills is this thing with Alex Cohen going out. You know, Alex got arrested. He and his group, Soul Much Water, went out and literally, intentionally, it was a protest. They intentionally put themselves in front of construction equipment and got themselves arrested. He posted it on Facebook. So here I'm going to go to their Facebook page and actually tell you about what they've been up to. Maybe there is an update on it. So, because this is the thing. The people of St. Louis, there's little groups and pockets of people doing everything they can think of to bring attention, but the big elephant in the room is the Manhattan Project. We're talking about all this little city, that little city, the Santa Susana, all of it, Hanford, it's across the nation. This government seriously failed on the Manhattan Project and is failing. Department of Energy Secretary Moniz is failing miserably in addressing the Manhattan Project contaminated waste pollution that is harming every living person and microscopic animal on our planet, frankly, but in our country. I mean, we need our government to face this and to stop being demonically denying it. It's just, it's beyond comprehension. I have to say I am dumbfaced that we get this blank stare. I mean, it leaves me speechless. Can you tell? Like when I think about Claire McCaskill voting for a budget that did not give any money to St. Louis because she wanted to vote with her caucus. I'm sure that's why. It is so outrageous, folks. I just can't get over it. This is just unbelievable. So they have created something called the Mississippi Stand, Stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. I've gone to Alex Cohen's Facebook page because it all goes around the defenders of the Black Hills. It all goes around cleaning up the uranium mines. And the fact that we're being censored over it, and that we're being expected to just go, oh yeah, we're going to let the, in fact, the EPA did raise the radiation levels. The EPA said, if we have an emergency now, they're going to raise the radiation levels. In the event of emergency, don't worry, but they're normally low. We've decided, we've picked a number out of a hat, as John Goffman wrote his entire book about. He's written several books, a whole series of books, about every single scientific study they have ever conducted, ever, causes harm to the organism that radiation is exposed to at some point in that creature's life, period. If a radioactive element enters the body of an organism, it is destructive while it is still in its half-life process. And the EPA has picked up some probabilities, and to be honest, on my Facebook page, and you guys can go there, Nuts for Art, I have decided I'm going to start reading some of these scientific articles that I have stumbled across in my quest of education. I mean, I'm reading them for public good. I agree that I would not read them for profit, and they're not. But here is one. It is in a scientific journal called Testing the Validity of the International Atomic Energy Agency's Safety Culture Model. Ah, listen to what it says. I think I have time to read it because, yeah, we have 20 minutes. We're in 20 minutes on this. This paper takes the first step to empirically validate the widely used model of safety culture of the International Atomic Energy Agency, composed of five dimensions, further specified by 37 attributes. To do so, three independent and complementary studies are presented. Listen to this. First, 290 students served to collect evidence about the face validity of the model. So they have 290 students doing one project. Let's see on the face validity of the model. Second, 48 experts in organizational behavior. Now, they have experts in psychology. 48 of them. Organizational behavior judge its content validity. Okay. Taking it at face value, what do they say? There's 290 students. And then they have the experts reviewing the content of what they're saying. And then this is the kicker. Third, 468 workers in a Spanish nuclear power plant helped to reveal how closely the theoretical five-dimensional model can be replicated. So then they had 468 workers attempt to replicate the five-dimensional model that the EPA says that rules their safety culture. Our findings suggest that several attributes of the model may not be related to their corresponding dimensions. That's like saying they're lying. According to our results, a one-dimensional structure fits the data better than the five-dimensional proposed by the IAEA. Moreover, the IAEA model, as it stands, seems to have a rather moderate content validity and a low face validity. Wow, doesn't even stand on its face. Practical implications for researchers and practitioners are included. This was a 2013 study, folks, by a group of, this is a scientifically peer-reviewed journal. This is a peer-reviewed journal. Analysis and Prevention, pages 241 to 244, from the Sever.com, Elsevier, Elsevier.com. Wow. I don't know. You'll probably just be able to find the abstract. So this is what Alex Cohen wrote on his Facebook page. 3 of 12 water protectors arrested in today's action. 3 water protectors locked onto a backhoe. Oh, this is what they did. 3 water protectors locked onto a backhoe for the entire morning, preventing construction from beginning when the workers arrived. After 7 of us were taken into custody, construction began, and 5 more entered the site and did a sit-in, halting construction again. Number one need for Mississippi Stand is 24/7 water protectors. Sorry about that. I have no idea what that means. Let me read this again. This is important. Number one need for Mississippi Stand is 24/7 water protectors. ASAP. Construction is 7 days a week, 10 hours a day. Stand on the right side of history with this Mississippi Stand. And that means if you're in that area, go there. They need people to go sit in front of equipment. I mean, even if you're like 5 or 6 hours away and you could just go for one day of sitting in is better than no day of sitting in. I do not have the money to fly there, the resources to fly there. I mean, I guess I could if I had the resources to fly there. I could fly there and take off a day, but I don't. But we do need people to stand up, and we do need people to stop the lies of the Manhattan Project. And that's what this is, too. This whole thing, what they're not talking about with these, this is so outrageous. And I think it's exactly part of the plan of the 90% rule. Let's put a pipeline. I mean, if you look where the pipelines are, it's right. They mix them up. They put a pipeline in where there's nuclear contamination so that when people start getting at it, no one looks at nuclear, which is why Ken Buesler and Jay Cullen can continue to lie at the Woods Hole. Or maybe they're just not liars. Maybe they're just so ill-educated. Or maybe they're just, I don't know. I cannot figure out how Jay Cullen and Ken Buesler can actually look and say that the fish in the Pacific Ocean are safe to eat. Testing the water is a scientific fallacy, and they know it. If they were real scientists, they would know. Any biologist knows John Goffman talked to us about that in Poison Power and also in his other book that I read online called Population Control Through Nuclear Pollution. A fish magnetizes the radiation by up more than 1,000 times in some fish. Some fish is 1,000. The ones that we commonly eat is about 1,000 times. It magnetizes the radiation, which is why you really ought not to be eating fish. Because they, even if they get a little bit, let's say they're farm-raised, but that water has tritium in it. Okay, so they're going to be farm-raised fish with tritium in their water. We know that New York City has 68,000 times more tritium in its water. I bet you 2 to 1 out here on the Native American lands, we have no idea what their water looks like. I venture to say that these people did not even do anything. They have never tested their lands. I'll bet you not, because they're the first tribe's lands. Wow. So, okay, so I am reading from the cleanuptheminds.org, because this is the heart of it. The abandoned mines, the Manhattan Project, folks. The Manhattan Project is at the heart of the nuclear pollution and at the heart of America's really destruction. I mean, the Manhattan Project, and what was it originally called? It wasn't called the Manhattan Project. It was called Manhattan Engineering Project, right? Wasn't that its first name, the Manhattan Project? It was from the Army Corps of Engineers. That's right. Wow. So this... The origins, the discovery of fission by German scientists Otto Hans and Fritz Strasser started in 1938. That's when Ackermann says that we have been in the age of fission since then. I mean, many of you listening to this know about this, but what is not mentioned on any of this, I went to the Wikipedia page on the Manhattan Project. And do you know what? None of them talk about, these are the titles, Manhattan District, Military Police Committee, Collaboration with the United Kingdom, Project Sites. Wow, let's look at that. Oak Ridge, Los Alamos, Argonne, Hanford, Canadian Sites, British Columbia, Ontario, Northwest Territories, Heavy Water Sites, Uranium Ore. Now, are they talking about the abandoned ore mines? Isotope Separation, Centrifuges, Electromagnetic Separation, Gaseous diffusion, thermal diffusion, aggregate U-235 production, plutonium, X-10 graphite reactor, Hanford reactors, separation process, weapons design. I'm reading the subtitles. This is stunning. Trinity, personnel, secrecy, censorship, Soviet spies, foreign intelligence, bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, preparations, bombings. After the war, cost. Wow, they're not even talking about the cost of what it's cost us, our lives, the ecocide, legacy. The legacy is pure death, and nothing about the waste. That's its legacy. It's the secrecy. It's the secrecy. Let's see what they say about the secrecy. Wow, this, now, as my teacher at school would say, what do you expect out of Wikipedia? Well, I really do expect this, because nobody else talks about the cost. The real cost is ecocide, folks. The real cost of nuclear is ecocide, and we are all paying the price. As I have been stunned, as we have seen, and I have been stunned by what is going on in St. Louis. Let me get back to this before I continue with my opinions. So I'm going to get to, I'm actually going to link into the Westlake Landfill page and just read a post on their page so that you will see this. There are, I'm going to post on there and find out and see what they're reading. And then I was thinking also what I should do is see if I can find like the Hanford Challenge page on Facebook, which frankly I haven't ever really looked for. So, the Westlake Landfill, the EPA site, these people are such liars. Don't we just hate them? I do. I honestly, I just can't. I have to say, it's hard for me to even have any respect for anybody at the EPA. They are, in my view, condoning murder. Okay, here is the latest. Let us know how you're doing. So, Donna Clock posted a new thing from the EPA. She posted something that says complaints. And she's like, let us know how you're doing. So, this is to their customer service feedback line at the EPA. So, she posted a phone number for people to call and tell them what they're doing. And you know what that means? It's because the smell from on their page has just been off the charts. So this is the smartness of this page. This is why I love Donna Clock, and really she has been hesitant to come on the show for a variety of reasons, and I respect that. She's really busy, but look what she says. This is interesting. She posted something here that says, two gaps in lab results. SO2 100 ppbs on 829, 831, 91, 92, 93, 95, 98, 99, 910, and 912. September 9th was the worst day, with exceedances at midnight, noon, 2, 9 p.m., and 10 p.m. Check your symptom log. So, in St. Louis, people are actually reviewing. Most of the SO2 exceedances occur in the southwest corner of the South Quarry. These are comments posted after this. Republic Services, Bridgeton Landfill will never be compliant with EPA NAAQS, and yet we endure it 24/7, 365. That's what somebody wrote. Another person wrote, IIRC, these exceedances began in May 2016 and have become more frequent and progressively worse. Something has changed. Then Donna responds, there have been many skips in reporting prior. And Don Chapman responds, no, there have not. Agreeing with the above statement, something has changed. So Donna, people in St. Louis are beginning to feel like things are changing, and actually they are changing. I was looking on the EPA website at the RadCast on the EPA is the people who actually monitor the radiation. The NRC oversees the licensees, but they don't actually give us radiation ratings, which is kind of weird because you would think that the NRC would handle all things nuclear, but they don't. And this is why the people of St. Louis and why the First Nations people are completely, there's nobody overseeing the First Nations, where all these uranium mines are. They're just abandoned mines. There is no legislation all these years now. Why? Congressman Grijalva, they are petitioning him, the defenders of the Black Hills, to be honest, I can't wait to, I hope I get to meet them, because they are, the things they've done on their page are just completely, very endearing, to be honest, for me. They actually wrote legislation that they submitted to Congressman Grijalva. And they basically, the way they wrote it, I don't think it's going to go anywhere because of the way they wrote it, because they're expecting the NRC to do this. It's really the EPA who would do it. The NRC has nothing. The NRC could care less. They are not going to clean up Jack. I don't think they'll ever do anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm incorrect, 100% incorrect on that one, but I don't trust the NRC. I don't trust the EPA at this point. I mean, we're talking to these people. Alex Cohen is throwing his body in front of machines. 12 people are putting their bodies in front of machines, locking themselves in front of machines to stop a pipeline. Sitting in dirt that's probably highly radioactive, and they don't even acknowledge it. That's the thing that just is like, the defenders of Black Hills have been facing it. They're living it. They have gotten used to it, in a way. Like, I'm dumbfounded that we have this First Nations fight and nobody's talking about the uranium mines. Like, they're disturbing plutonium. I mean, how much time do I have? Okay, we're at 33 minutes. We're good. This article, and I've referred to it many times because it blew me away. It was released on October 25th, 2016. It is a copy of a speech, The Safety of Nuclear Power, by Alvin M. Weinberg, and he is a nuclear monster of the first degree. And this is what it's based on, the lecture before the Council of the Advancement of Science writing briefing on New Horizons in Science, Boulder, November 14th, 1972. This version for use in a series of articles on energy, Atlantic City Press, July 1973. Distribution of this document is unlimited, so I am free to read it, folks. And I am going to, because this man is one of the reasons why we have nuclear power and all over the place. It is... At this time when he gave this, this is when the uranium mines were happening. This is when they were abandoning them, all in the 60s, all in the 70s. They were abandoning all these mines because Congress treated them just like a regular mine. You don't have to worry about it. It's just uranium. Who cares? It's just going to kill the Indians. Who cares? Really? And now we have the pipeline going through the Dakotas. This has gone into the Mississippi River. We have had floods all in those areas year after year after year. People think that really we're going to just be fine, just fine. I don't know. We do need anybody that is near the Dakota pipelines needs to go down there and needs to be there at least one day. I would not go there for more than one day because it's highly radioactive. You are putting yourself at risk. It's like going up to Hanford. But they're stirring up the dirt big time, although in Hanford they have fires. I mean, it's, the cancer rate's up in Hanford. If we look at every single place, and this is the sad part about the Manhattan Project, we are discovering more and more and more and more lies and cover-ups from the Manhattan Project. At this point, the people, these guys, these old coots, Alvin M. Weinberg, he's dead. This is probably why it was released. My guess would be he died in 2006. Let me look that up. Okay, how about that? The Westlake landfill. Let's go back to this because this breaks my heart. This is part of it. Oh, man, I do not know how we can just keep ignoring this. Here's a post. Some of you have asked questions about our local drinking water. What? Oh, my God. I am unable to answer your drinking water questions. I have provided this map for local drinking water intakes, which shows some area in the North County and North St. Louis. I do know that Bridgeton and Earth City get their drinking water from Hog Hollow intake, which is upstream from the Westlake landfill. Let me just put it to you this way, folks. Don't drink any water in America that comes out of the tap. Our country only regulates 60 chemicals in the water. They pour in chlorine to, cover it up. If you need to be drinking, getting a decent water filter. I mean, there are really good companies that you can go to get a decent, for goodness sakes, even if you just buy a cheap one on Amazon, you can get one for like $85, hook it up to your sink, and you have drinking water, and get a shower filter. Do not shower in this stuff if you can help it. Our water is the worst. Like, really, we have a country full of diabetics, heart disease, our cancer is killing our children. We are being eaten alive by the bankers and the money makers in this country, folks, if you have not noticed. Mimi Gurman said something to me about, it's coming, because I was telling her that, Guy McPherson, he gets a lot of flack for being a death and doomer, which I don't think he really is, but I'd really like to explore that conversation with him. Because if he really was a death and doomer, we wouldn't even know him. He wouldn't even be talking to people about it. But, we are in World War III, folks. I don't think actually World War II ever ended because the Nazis infiltrated the U.S. I mean, look at what they've done with the Manhattan Project. They have known. Dr. John Goffman, Arthur Tamplin, Linus Pauling wrote their books in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. They know exactly radiation, the scientific, the elemental effects. This is why Dana Durnford got so angry and why he was recently convicted of harassment in Canada. Because he has been studying Dr. Gilmedy Santa Fe, New Mexico. I think he's in Santa Fe, Dr. Gilmedy. For 30 years they've been studying dogs, trying to figure out beagles. What's the lowest rate of radiation poisoning you can give to an animal and it won't be harmed? Do you know there isn't a single level of lowness? Every animal, year after year, for 30 years, this is what makes Dana angry. How many dogs do they have to kill before they say, okay, it's going to kill people, and it's going to kill the dogs? 30 years of killing dogs and testing dogs to try to figure it out. They're still dying. I mean, it is really, what kind of monsters are these? Year after year, 30 years of testing animals. What kind of cancer will you get from this? What kind of cancer will you get from that? Every animal. And this is something Dr. John Goffman points out in Poison Power. Do you know that in regards to nuclear, that the scientists, that the EPA and the FDA and the regulatory agencies in our country, they do not allow, you know how we test on animals, for example, when you're for contact lens solutions or for makeup or for food or different things, elements that we're going to add to food. We first start on animals and then we correlate it to the human species because we're built similar. We're all mammals. And we use animal testing all the time to correlate to humans. That's perfectly acceptable in our scientific world. But the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, does not accept that model. They do not allow a comparison from animals to humans, which is why the International Atomic Energy Agency, this model that the analysis and prevention testing the validity of the International Atomic Energy Agency safety culture model is false. They say it's five things. It's really only one thing. I'm going to read that article on my channel, Nuts for Art. Look, our country is being attacked, folks. And Alex Cohen is giving up his freedom. It's going to cost him money. He is now going to have, and a, I guess, a badge of honor to be arrested saving our country. This young man and his friends, Katie Rose, they have come up with huge, huge efforts. They're changing their lives. People go, oh, well, they're just a bunch of little hippies. But no, they're not. They're just people who are starting their lives who are saying, you know what, we're willing to live on simple means to change our planet. Listen to this poster that they posted up. This is awesome. Leave nothing but footprints. Kill nothing but time. Leave nothing but footprints. Kill nothing but time. Wow. That's prophetic, isn't it? Leave nothing but footprints. Kill nothing but time. Wow. Kill nothing but footprints. Leave nothing but footprints. Leave nothing but footprints. Kill nothing but time. That's really prophetic. That's super awesome. I'm going to go back to these pages because I really want to encourage people to understand that the uranium mines, the Manhattan Project, these are urgent. These are our own Fukushimas. The thing that got us all engaged to listening to this radio show, at least it did for me, and I venture to say for most people listening to this radio show, Fukushima was the wake-up call. Fukushima was like the come to Jesus moment when we went, oh my God, this is out of control. They're obviously lying to us. Fukushima is so great. Do you know that since the last typhoon that went through there, TEPCO is saying they're completely out of control. They cannot stop it. We've known that. Do you know what the EPA, now I don't know this, and I'm going to encourage people because I don't read science very well, but I went to the EPA RadNet, levels of whether they have this graph. It's a radiation tester, right? And it shows your gamma rays. Like, gamma rays are bad, right? So I know that we're not supposed to have over 100. That's even the new ones, right? The radiation rates that I saw in the EPA looked like it was 3,000. 2,000 to 3,000. Some communities, 1,000. So it's like, I'm hoping that I'm reading it wrong. So I would encourage anybody who's listening to this radio show to please go to epa.gov. And I'll take you to the steps there myself right now. Because I could use some help on this, folks. And I did ask somebody about it, who I'm going to have on here, Chuck Hindman. He and I are going to have him on regularly. He has found some methods of remediating radiation. So we're going to be pre-recording and having him on very, very soon and hopefully regularly. So I had him look at this, and he said, no, you're absolutely right. This is like, it's off the charts high. He actually had posted something on his own Facebook page about it. RadNet, so you go to epa.gov, type in the query that says radiation, and then there's RadNet database and reports. That's what I clicked on. And then I clicked on View RadNet Near Real Time and Laboratory Database by State. Okay. And then it pops up this beautiful state. And because I was looking at the Dakotas, I clicked on over there. The South Dakota, right on the pipeline. It's right there. Where's it at? It is from Pierre, South Dakota. Now, this is Pierre, gamma gross count. So if I look at this chart, it's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. It starts at 4,000 from June 4 to September 24. It's about 4,000 counts per minute, jumping up and down. So now, I don't get that. Is that really 4,000 counts per minute? Is it really that high? Measurement in Diamond Tate. So I am asking any of my listeners to please go here. You can give me a call on Friday, on Call-In Friday, and talk to me about this because I'm going to do some research. I think I'm going to call the EPA and ask them about this and find out what they say are the acceptable levels. If they're going to tell me that indeed these are above the normal levels, but it's an unusual time or blah, blah, whatever their excuse is. So I'm definitely going to do that because this really confuses me. And it's kind of frightening if it's real, but 4,000, that's a lot. And all across the country, it was super, super, super high, just like that. I mean, everywhere. I mean, it was. Let's see where it is in St. Louis. Let's take a look at St. Louis. Since this is Manhattan Project Monday, let's take a look at it. Well, St. Louis is only at 1,000, 2,000, just under 3,000 counts per minute, it looks like. Maybe 2,500 counts per minute as of today. So I guess that's not bad considering, you know, Pierre is... this must be some... I have to be able to understand this because these numbers are frightening and I can't imagine that we would have these numbers and the EPA is doing nothing. So, you know, back to the water intakes, folks, on the Westlake Landfill page. Please do yourselves a favor and do not drink tap water anywhere in the United States. It's all poison. Even if you think it's coming from the groundwater, as we've seen, the uranium is seeping into the groundwater. 14,000 abandoned uranium mines for over 40, well, since the 70s. 60s and 70s is when they started being abandoned. You know, the early ones were abandoned in the 50s. They drained them all out and moved next. And most of them are on Native American lands. And the cancer rates, people on the Native lands have cancer charts of cancer, genetic mutations, sterility, diabetes. It's off the charts, folks. Nobody talks about it. As we've seen, the people of Westlake Landfill have shown us, the people of Bridgeton, our government doesn't even keep track. That is the real outrage of it all. They do not even keep track. So I also encourage you to go to cleanuptheminds.org. I'm going to play around on their Facebook page here. I mean, on their website here. It's called cleanuptheminds.org. About. Let's see what they say. I'm going to hit the About page. Clean Up the Mines is a campaign to clean up thousands of abandoned uranium mines throughout the U.S. that emit radiation and heavy metals into the air, land, and water. So if you think this does not apply to you, it does. Clean Up the Mines exists to pass legislation for health and environmental studies on the effects of existing abandoned uranium mines. To pass legislation for health and environmental studies on the effects of existing abandoned uranium mines. To educate the public about the effects of the mines. To clean up the mines and the affected areas. To compensate and care for people who suffer adverse health effects related to radiation exposure. Once the legislation is passed, our next task will be to see that there is public oversight of the entire process, that the government fulfills its responsibility in a transparent manner, that there is a mechanism for accountability. I 100% agree with you, but oh my gosh, there is nothing that our government has ever done, and especially in relation to the Native peoples, that would lead you to believe they would ever do that. Ever. They have no interest in public oversight of the entire process. They have no interest in fulfilling its responsibilities. They'll say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at Bill 4100 in St. Louis, folks. Even if it passed out of committee tomorrow, got passed by the full Congress today, there is still no money in the budget of 2017 for them. Nothing. No money went to St. Louis for 2017, although recently Republic Services did negotiate with a small number of families. But our government has done nothing. Fulfill its responsibilities in a transparent manner, and that there is a mechanism for accountability. So, not to be rude, but that almost makes me want to laugh. This is really sweet, but really? I honestly, what is it that makes me want to spit nails? This is just so angry. Like, they're so nice about this. The government is screwing them over forever. And they're still nice about it. I mean, like, my hat is off to them. I wonder what their culture is like, because I do not have that same level of compassion and being nice about this. I would write something much more forceful than this, because they are not going to pass legislation for health and environmental studies on the abandoned uranium mines. They're bullying their way through the South Dakota pipeline. They're going to force the TPP on us. The Dakota, the XL pipeline, it's all over with, folks. We live in a fascist nation. The mercenaries were called out. Dogs were called out to bite a child in the face in South Dakota. And nothing happened. Alex Cohen, 2 or 3 weeks later, still has to get himself arrested to stop one day, a few hours of construction. And the Native people are just like, it hurts. Gang. Facts. Abandoned uranium mines. There are more than 15,000 abandoned uranium mines in 15 western states. The true number, location, existing hazard, and off-site migration potential for toxic radioactive materials from these sites have not yet adequately been determined. The true number has not yet adequately been determined. Do you understand what that means? This is beyond our Fukushima. This is why they know, oh, people can live in Fukushima, because we've been letting the Native Americans live there for the last... They are the canary in the coal mine. Don't worry, it's a slow death. Nobody now notices it. The animals disappear. We get two-headed calves that die soon. But nobody talks about it. And don't worry, life goes on and we make money. This is where I start spitting nails and wanting to cuss, folks. Listen to this next fact about uranium mines. And you can get this from cleanupthemines.org/facts/. 10 million people are estimated to live within 50 miles of a recorded abandoned uranium mine. That's at 1 in 7 people in the western U.S. And considering the true number has not yet been adequately determined, it's probably greater than that. Listen to this fact now. This really makes you spit nails. Most of these locations are found in Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, and Wyoming. There are 3,272 abandoned uranium mines and prospects located in just 5 states. Out of the 15,000, 5 states have 3,272. Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Colorado. 169 abandoned uranium mines are located southwest of Mount Rushmore in the Black Hills. 169. Oh my God. The people who are protesting are exposing themselves to radiation. More than 1,200 abandoned uranium mines have been documented on Navajo Reservation. More than 1,200 abandoned uranium mines have been documented on Navajo Reservation? Oh my God. Okay. No existing federal laws require cleanup of these hazards. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency states, unlike the uranium mill tailings cleanup program, there is no specific legislation to address abandoned uranium mines. Most of these abandoned uranium mines were established under the General Mining Law of 1860 that does not require reclamation or remediation. Wow. Corporations walk away while the public pays. Mining companies walked away from their cleanup responsibilities after decades of mining, leaving the public to bear their toxic legacy. The cost for cleanup of these abandoned mines have been moved from past uranium mining operators onto the general taxpayers, as have the public health and environmental costs of these toxic sites. More like ecocide and genocide. Abandoned uranium mines remaining dangerously active for hundreds of thousands of years. 99% or more of the rock extracted from a mine can wind up in the remaining pulverized rock debris known as tailings. The waste retains 85% of the radioactivity of the original underground deposit. 85%. 7 quantities of radium and radon gas, which are potent human carcinogens, there are 8, given off by abandoned uranium mines, will have diminished only one half in 80,000 years. After about 1 million years, carcinogenic effects are limited to the continuous decay of thorium-230. After about 1 million years, carcinogenic effects are limited to the continuous decay of thorium-230 in residual uranium, which releases toxic alpha and gamma radiation. Both are dangerous and deadly to all living beings. Oh my God. And you know what? Thorium is almost all what's in the Westlake landfill. That's why people have got cancer so bad there. So, oh my gosh, I see that we're, I better hurry up. I see that we're at 57 minutes. It gives me about 2 minutes left. Long-term public use of an area. AUMs pose greater health threats the longer they are left abandoned. Long-term public use of an area, such as recreation, ranching, and indigenous religious practices, means greater exposure to radioactive waste. Some long-term issues include toxins and radioactive leaking from tailings piles and containment areas and animals eating contaminated vegetation. Abandoned uranium waste has also been used for house construction, creating significant radon and radiation hazards to humans. Oh my gosh. Well, look, folks, I am going to end here. I'm going to come back to this page regularly. put your courage feet on. Mondays will now be called Manhattan Project Mondays. Thank you for joining me. I hope to have some of the representatives from both of these organizations on to discuss the actions that they're doing. Clean up the minds and defenders of democracy.